This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Really figured out this time when once the beat changes to show our beautiful faces.
That's it, man. It took us 22 episodes to figure it out.
We got there in the end.
I think we got it. I think we got a system going. Kieran, this is weird. It's a Thursday afternoon.
It's a Thursday, man. What are we doing? This is a Bread Club first.
My work schedule is starting to pick up, and I was going to miss next week, but I couldn't miss talking to you and doing another episode of Bread Club on Fightful Overbooked.
So too much to talk about.
What a big week in New Japan the last 2 weeks since the last time we got together. So I said, we got, if we can make this work, my friend, we're going to do it. And you were so gracious to find the time.
We made it work. We was always going to make it work. There's too much to talk about. How would the people have survived without getting Matt's takes on the hot news in New Japan at the moment? There would have been outrage.
That is fair. And if you follow the Shining Wizards on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast, there's no shot we will ever have the opportunity to talk to David Finlay, as I've venomously tweeted about him.
I see it on the Twitter. I haven't listened to the latest Wizards though.
You know what? There's not as much new. I won't lie. There's not as much New Japan talk on the Wizards. But last night when I sat down, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, I sat down to watch Dominion.
Not ahead of yourself.
I got home late last night. My wife was asleep. My mother-in-law was asleep. I said I'm gonna watch fucking Dontaku now. And, yesterday was 5-3 Bullet Club Day. And
10-year anniversary, a decade in the chamber.
I may have went after David Finlay all day.
I think he done well. I think the match was done exactly what it needed to do. We'll dive into it, but there's a fucking lot to dive into, to say the least. We Road to Dontaku, Satsumi no Kuni, Best of the Super Juniors is coming up imminently. Dontaku itself, Dominion's been announced, Resurgence stuff going on. It's fucking been a crazy, like, not even 2 weeks, a week and a half since we last recorded.
Yeah, and you know what? I love every second of it. I love that we're getting news every day. I know the players are changing. The game is changing. It's very exciting stuff. I'm a little upset that, you know, we have new junior tag team champions. Not upset about the team that won, but I was firmly in Catch 2-2's camp, looking for them to make a historic run.
I mean, yeah, if we that's like one of the first matches, one of the first important matches on this Dontaku tour. Was that junior tag match? Of course, Naito and Doki happened just before it as well. But speaking on that junior tag match, it was awesome though. Like, We both have sung the praises of Catch 2-2 many times on here. We have Francesco Akira join us for our Wrestle Kingdom extravaganza. And I feel like if it had to be someone, I'm just glad it's Kevin Knight. I love the dude. How can you not? Have you seen like how he's reacted on social media? How can you not love the guy?
Yeah, and he's an unbelievable talent. You know, during the process of us doing Bread Club a couple episodes ago, when he first made his excursion to Japan, he, you know, may be the only young lion to graduate mid-tour.
Wild, yeah. I wonder, like, it seemed like DKC just suddenly graduated as well, and now there's not really any young lions in LA. There's no LA Dojo, in a way. I wonder if they've kind of, they're not doing it anymore. Maybe they're changing up the system, because they're doing these, like, you can pay to do training courses at the dojo now, can't you? You do one type, and it's, like, less intense, I suppose, with certain trainers, and then you do another one, it's like with Fred Ross and Kushida, and that's the really expensive one. You're really going to get your money's worth. So I wonder if they're just changing up the system a bit now.
You know what, your guess is as good as mine. I know it's, you know, they changed the game with New Japan Strong. That was kind of like a pandemic solution to let the New Japan talent work in a studio environment, and then with the direction of Strong now, where they're essentially all these shows in the States that they're doing are what is turning into the matches they show on New Japan Strong. Maybe there's not a heavy presence of LA Young Lions that we're seeing. You know, maybe there is a crew over there. But DKC was at both those shows I was at in Washington and Philadelphia. And, you know, he played an important role in the Clark Connor story. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think Kevin Knight is head and shoulders above all the other LA Dojo guys right now.
I mean, and we'll get to Best of the Super Juniors. We'll make our picks. We'll talk about all 20 men in that tournament and the hectic schedule. But I got to say, him being in that tournament is potentially the thing I'm most excited for. And it's one of the things people should be excited for. Like, it's great that we've got new faces. You know, we've got Speedball making his debut and all these his tournament debut and all these things. But Kevin Knight getting 9 straight singles matches, that's going to be something special.
Yeah, it's not something we've gotten to see yet in a New Japan ring in Japan. So it's going to, and I mean, this is the best of the best, this Super Junior. So that B block is stacked. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I also want to give props to TJP. I mean, nasty eyebrow injury.
Oh, how the fuck did that even happen, man? That was gruesome.
And he keeps going. I know a lot of people don't like him because of his online opinions.
TJP, the person, is perhaps a bit of an idiot. TJP, the wrestler, is tremendous.
I agree. I he's a former guest of the show. I have no qualms with him. Sometimes I see him going a little off the rails on the Twitter. I ignore it. It doesn't affect me. But in ring, man, he is a sight. He is just so smooth. And I mean, if you want a Super Junior tag match to watch, I mean, this Kevin Knight, Jet Setters, Catch 2-2 was something to see.
Yeah, their whole tag reign, the Catch 2-2 tag reign, the best tag reign we've had for the junior titles in a long, long time, arguably one of the best ever. And he's done wonders for Francesco Akira as well, because Akira came in, he's meant to be this heel from United Empire, and it just wasn't working. And now he is a cocky little bastard. He's this like little shit, you know, like when if you're at school and then you've got a kid a couple of like grades below you just getting cocky, and you're like, what are you doing? You're a stupid little kid, fuck off. But it still gets on your nerves, and you know it shouldn't, because they're an annoying little kid. That's Francesco Akira now. Like when they do the throw off TJP's shoulders, like take picture. Yeah. it's brilliant. He has come on so far as this little egregious little shit, and he's now he is a great little heel in New Japan. Now we're gonna get another singles run from him. I think the difference of him in the Best of Super Juniors last year when he made his debut to now is gonna be night and day.
Oh, yeah. Full year in New Japan getting acclimated. I can't ever imagine what it's like to be plucked out of your environment and put into a completely foreign environment. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch. My question to you, who do we line up next for Kushida, Kevin Knight? The junior division is kind of lacking.
I mean, I would say maybe Clark Connors is going to get the win over Kevin Knight, maybe. that's opening night as well. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I saw Kevin or Clark put a tweet out. And then maybe Ishimori gets a pin over Kushida. They were doing the story that never came to an end, really, did it? Where Ishimori is kind of testing Kushida, and Kushida unfortunately got foot and mouth disease. But I think, yeah, I think Clark Collins and Ishimori would make a good contenders. But the concern is they could also win in the first match. That's a strong team, Ishimori and Clark Connors. But yeah, I mean, you know, Leo Rush is back again. He, you know, the team with Yo. You can stick Master Wato with someone like Taguchi, Titan and Bushi. I think they'll be fine. I think, you know, every match now is fresh as well, because granted they had Super Junior Tag League, but they've not had these for title matches. So, you know, all the guys Catch 2-2 defended against, they can now defend against Jet Setters as well.
Yeah, I'm always interested to see the direction they go with this stuff. And it always, we're going to get into it when we talk Dantaku. I mean, it is. I could not be more excited.
We got to get fucking going, because we want to get to Dantaku. But we got a Road 2 tour to get to Dantaku. We're taking the journey just like New Japan did. And whilst we have talked about the IWGP Junior Tag Title match, we did miss one match on that show, and one important match, should we say, the Tetsuya Naito versus Doki match, the junior heavyweight versus the heavyweight, the star of New Japan. Doki hanging in there, but, you know, Naito getting the win inevitably in the end.
Yeah, you were right. There were moments when I thought
you had stars in your eyes.
I thought we were going to get a real surprise Doki win, but as discussed on the last episode, you were right. Naito is victorious.
It's never going to happen, unfortunately, Matt.
Don't say never.
We can dream.
Never say never, Kieran.
Heavyweight Doki, we can dream. He's a chunky boy. He's a very big boy.
I might be in Kevin Kelly camp on Doki with Best of the Super Juniors.
What, dark horse pick?
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, but I want to see him challenge for the title, because when Hiromu had that return match against Doki when he came back from injury, and we were just like, okay, yeah, cool, let's kill each other and do really stupid shit. It was awesome. They're tailor-made for each other, those two. So let Doki have a title challenge for that at least.
Look, there's only you can't go anywhere but up with Doki, right? You put him in this huge position with Naito, and now ahead of the Best of the Super Juniors, he hung with Naito, so...
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see him get the win over Hiromu in the tournament. And then, you know, that lines up Hiromu's defense against Doki and, you know, give Doki a big old main event on a Korakuen or something like that. He's certainly deserving.
That'd be a lot of fun. I like it. I think I don't think he wins the block, but I think.
No.
I think he comes. I think he's in play the last two nights, maybe.
There is. We want to talk everything. That's why we're jumping all over the place. We can't fucking stick. They're doing semifinals. We got set to. There will be a semifinals in the Best of Super Juniors this year, which is an interesting caveat. So, you know, someone who maybe wouldn't necessarily be a shoo-in to win the block could certainly finish second and still make the final now.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah, it's a lot of intrigue.
A lot to look at. There's a lot of interesting storylines here as we are heading towards Dominion and the G1.
And then the main event on Thursday, April 27th, Hiromu Takahashi retaining the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Great match. Kanemaru, top of his game here, reminding us that he is, you know, he's the most winningest. He is far and away the best junior heavyweight in Noah history. Like, the amount of times he's held the title and defenses, everything. But I've got a big bone to pick with this match, Matt.
All right, let me hear it.
It's almost like we're getting... The Hiromu wins LOL, Cena wins LOL, Super Cena. It's just that it gets to a point in the match, Hiromu gets his ass kicked for 70, 80, 90% of the match, and then it's suddenly, okay, time for me to win. Let me hit my lariat. Let me hit this other move. Let me hit time bomb 2. Cool, we're out. It's so sudden.
Yeah, I was, I think it was the last episode or two episodes ago. I think we're both in the same boat where we're kind of over Hiromu. I just think the ship has sailed. He's very in the junior division. He's very Cena-esque, right? He's gonna play from the bottom.
He is putting the spotlight on his opponents, though. I will say, in that, like I just said, he's getting the shit kicked out of him for the majority of his matches. Like, he's letting his opponents look like stars, get all their shit in, and look great. It's just like, it is very much, okay, time to finish. Let me hit my three moves of doom and game over. It's just, it's sudden. There's no gradual build to it. It's, I'm getting my ass kicked. Okay, cool. I'll win now.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It was, I enjoyed the match, but
the match was good.
I'm over Hiromu. I was 99.9% of the outcome for Dantaku. And I was okay with it.
I do. They are maybe making him out to be a bit of a monstrous champion. So when the time comes that he does lose, it may be quite interesting. And because it kind of seems like that could be a big setup for someone. Like, hopefully someone new. Maybe we get a Master Watto or Clark Connors, whoever. I think someone new beating Hiromu whilst he's on this run would like do a lot for whoever beats him.
And I would be okay with that. He's also somebody I could see, you know, down the line, like him and Teton having a go at the junior tag titles.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it should be mentioned as well with Kevin Knight, the first full-fledged member of the LA Dojo to win a title. Like, you know, Ren Narita's kind of LA Dojo. He kind of went on excursion there, but he was, you know, he's an original Japanese Noge Dojo boy. But Kevin Knight, the first full-blooded LA Dojo boy to win a title. And he was one of the last guys to join as well, maybe the last. After DKC, so you know it, they see something in him, and you know I see it too. Like I say all the time, I think he can be the future for this junior division.
Yeah, he's definitely a very bright spot. And if you haven't watched any Kevin Knight matches, definitely set aside some time, because this Best of the Super Juniors is going to be a lot, and it's going to be all jammed into two and a half weeks.
Jesus Christ!
But if you could cut out some time to watch these Kevin Knight matches, because the lineup of people he's going to face is top notch. Definitely check it out.
It's gonna be awesome. And then yeah, we move to Wrestling Satsuma no Kuni, Saturday, April 29th. Jumping to the two important matches on the card. The first being IWGP Tag Team Championships, Aussie Open defending against TMDK. Matt, I think this is my tag match of the year.
Wow, really?
I don't do stars, but if I did, there'd be five of them.
This was fantastic. I love the chemistry between these two teams. What'd you say?
It's unbelievable. Like, I was in love. I was in awe, just mesmerized. Like, the outcome always seemed like a foregone conclusion. There, you know, I didn't really see Aussie Open dropping the titles. But when TMDK hit Coriolis and when TMDK hit the Tank Buster after as well, I was like, holy shit, TMDK are actually going to win. I bit incredibly hard, and these, you know, FTR's cool and great, and Young Bucks are cool and great, but goddamn, if these two teams didn't put on the best tag match of the year.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome. If you're a fan of tag team wrestling, like, go out of your way to check this out. Aussie Open's unbelievable. I think TMDK, Shane Haste, and Mikey Nichols are criminally underrated.
Oh, man. Like, Shane Haste especially, I didn't realize until this match how fucking good that man is. I would love to see him in the G1. I don't know, maybe I just hadn't paid him enough attention, but he's so tuned in, just the little things, the nuance. He's fantastic, Shane Haste. I would love to see him in the G1.
Yeah, he was somebody during the Philly and DC shows, like, he's in the ring with, you know, Zach and Bad Dude Tito and Team Filthy, but you can't take your eyes off of him because he just has that look about him, and you know, like, this dude's gonna do something that's gonna make you, you know, fucking pop out of your chair and go, holy shit.
Yeah, I can't. I think, you know, from this whole tour, including Dontaku, this is, I think, definitely my match of the tour, the Dontaku tour. I can't say enough good things about it. Literally, it's crazy that the two best tag teams in the world both happen to be from Australia and are competing along a New Japan show for the world tag titles.
And somehow the House of Torture finagles their way in there.
They did. Post-match. Was it post-match? Yeah. Bishamon come out and then House of Torture come out, and they snuck away with the titles eventually, but Aussie Open got them back. And yeah, we're set for a three-way at Dominion now.
We'll talk about that as we get to Dantaku, because I have some issues with that too. I have some bones to pick.
Do you have issues with the 43 minutes and 40 seconds Shingo Takagi versus Taichi KOPW 2023 Takagi Triad match?
I don't. I really enjoyed the Shingo and Aaron Hanari match. And I did not watch this live. Now, this may be what, you know, and I feel like this was the same reason you didn't specifically enjoy Shingo Hanare, was because you watched it live and it kind of was long. I knew going into this that this was going to be a long match. So I kind of settled in with my Cheez-Its and my water.
Yeah, I think if I knew a match I was going, if I knew any match was going to be this long, I probably would just not watch it, in all honesty. There's only a very small amount of wrestlers, combinations of wrestlers facing each other that I'd be like, okay, I'll buckle in for this. Because like, I could watch an episode of Succession in that time or something, man. And that's like the greatest show on TV right now.
Yeah, fair enough. I love Shingo. Tai Chi has grown on me over the last couple of years. So I was, based off of the enjoyment I got out of Shingo, Aaron Hanare, I was very interested with this. Now, look, there's a lot of downtime in these matches, these triad matches. That would be that's the biggest downfall. But I think the story they tell and the way it ends kind of protects Shingo and really makes Tai Chi look like a fucking badass.
I did like the ending. Like, Tai Chi was absolutely decapitating Shingo with that stretch plum. Like, it looked horrible. Shingo was great. Like, Shingo looked like he was just dead. But what got me, annoyed me as well, was Red Shoes taking about 5 minutes before he decided to, you know, stop the match, call a technical knockout, even though Shingo literally looks like a corpse at this point. I'm like, is fucking Red Shoes waiting for the official death certificate? Is he waiting for the body to go 6 feet in the ground in a hole? Like, what more does he need at this point for the match to be stopped? It got like, I think it got to a point where it's a bit silly, like just call it a minute earlier maybe, but the finish was great. Taichi looked monstrous in that end.
Yeah, I know. I think we're on the same page with Red Shoes, because it
one of Red Shoes' worst performances. I usually love the man.
It rolls over to Dantaku too.
Why? What happened?
He should not have let David Finlay go as far as David Finlay went. What, are we out of our minds? Stop the match, Red Shoes. What the fuck?
We should mention, yes, of course, Taichi won that match as well. Finally winning the KOPW title, perhaps putting a temporary nail in the coffin with this feud with Shingo that's been going on for a long time. And hopefully, you know, Taichi as champion is going to be great. And then him and Sanada in the tag team matches heading up to Dantaku, both revealing their titles at the same time, was really fucking cool. But I'm all aboard the Taichi KOPW train.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Just Five Guys. And Taichi being the champion means we're going to get a new wrinkle to it. You know, we saw it go through Toriano where it was all goofy stuff. That weird Minoru Suzuki run, obviously Shingo, now Taichi. We'll see how creative Taichi can get.
Yeah. I wonder if it's kind of taken on a Proxy Never thing where, you know, it's the big, bad, hefty motherfuckers just beating each other up is now the KOPW, because we went with the Never title was Tama Tonga and Carl Anderson and Tama Tonga and David Finlay, and, you know, David Finlay's maybe going to bring a bit more meanness to it now. Maybe he wants to take it back to where it was, but the KOPW between Shingo holding it and taking on Hanare and now Taichi certainly is getting that Never feel to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they go with this too, because, you know, Taichi might get creative. We've seen all sorts of different fun matches from Shingo, so this will be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll see who the first challenger will be. And then we move on. Wrestling Dantaku itself, the show we was all waiting for, May 3rd, big show top to bottom. I don't think anything happened in the pre-matches, right?
Let's see. Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton referred to the House of Torture as a team of Marty Jannetty's, which I thought was funny.
I like to imagine you wrote that one down just specifically so you could bring it to the podcast.
I didn't write it down. I remembered it last night. I was very, very dialed in to Dantaku last night. Let's see what else. Chaos Beat, House of Torture. The first half of the show, those matches flew.
Yeah, I mean, opening match, 3.5 minutes. Second match, 5.5 minutes. 6.5 minutes. 7 minutes, 17. I was glad to see it, man, because, you know, as you know, Matt, I have duties when a New Japan match is on, when certain New Japan shows are on. But I booked a half day from work so I could watch this match and do my New Japan duties. And then obviously I had to log on from home. So I'm like, this show better fucking hurry up, man. I got to turn on my laptop or my boss is.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's going to be like, where the fuck is Kieran?
United Empire, Great Okan, Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis beat Fujita, Nichols, Chain when Great Okan used the Sheep Killer on Kushida.
On Kushida?
Fujita, excuse me.
Kushida, newest member of TMDK. You heard it here first from Matt. Explains why he wears the orange jacket.
The Intergalactic Jet Setters. And Shota Umino, who still is carrying around that fucking jacket. I know why he's carrying around, but god damn it. And what is he doing? What is he giving out?
He gives out like little wristbands to kids.
Knock it off. Get your fucking haircut, you weirdo.
He's giving out presents to kids. How are you against that?
Because we find out what's coming.
You're like anti Santa Claus.
I am the anti-Santa Claus today. This is not Death Rider-esque. What is he doing?
Hey, Moxley's for the kids as well, maybe.
Is he? Moxley would give fucking razor blades to kids, and this guy's handing out fucking little tchotchkes, little cats or whatever fucking weird gift-a-roonies he could find. And just pick a jacket, bro!
Yeah, you know what? I did think this as he came out. Like, if he just dropped the jacket, he'd be fine now. I think, like, he's got his whole no look. He's got the baseball shirts cool. He's got the cap and everything. Just drop the jacket.
And why has he got his own entrance? He doesn't seem like a team player to me. I don't want him on my team. He comes his own way.
Matt shoots hard on Shota.
Me and Shota got heat. Just put on the fucking cool Death Rider jacket. Lose the white one. Great.
Halfway point, we get the cards for Best of the Super Juniors 30. We get another teaser for the Wolf. I message someone and say, god damn it, are we still not getting the Wolf? I assumed the Wolf was today. And that person responded to me and was like, you never say never. And I was like, oh shit, Wolfie Boy is still coming. And of course, we found out who Wolfie Boy is a few hours later. But yeah, then we get into the title matches. We get into the big matches. The first one being Hikuleo defeating Kenta to win the Strong Openweight Championship. Kenta dropping the title at his third defense. I'm good with that. Hikuleo is pretty impressive in the ring. Let's give him a run.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this. We've clearly gotten on top of the mountain and screamed about this version of Kenta. Hikuleo
deserves more of the same. More bullshit, more, you know, referee bumps.
Fast and bombs, low blows, bullshit. I'm good with this. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I got to go back to the fucking House of Torture match, right?
Go on. I didn't give it any attention.
Hikuleo, big win. Strong openweight champion. Congratulations, Hikuleo. Well deserved. House of Torture has this match, right? Aussie Open comes out post-match for the save. Yep. Mm-hmm. While they're beating down, the House of Torture, and they're and Kyle Fletcher's, you know, we like Bishamon, we know these motherfuckers are going to get in the way. House of Torture is sitting on the ramp, and the open tag titles are just sitting there. Why wouldn't they take them?
Were they?
Yes, they had just. It just irked me because the story was
they don't care for it. There's no prestige to them yet.
Look, if you're stealing titles, bro, take whatever you can get your fucking
beggars,
hands on.
House of beggars can't be choosers.
Oh my god! Now the fucking House of Torture is going to be in a fucking 3-way tag match with two of the best tag teams in the world.
I mean, it's probably better than it being just a straight up singles match with a tag 2v2 tag with Aussie Open versus House of Torture, I suppose. But yeah. This is going to be interesting. Well, I mean, we haven't seen House of Torture in this environment, I don't think, in like a triple threat. So it could be fun.
Could be. You know what else could be fun, Kieran? Carrying a fucking 100-pound bag of flour up and down 25 stairs. I'm not going to do it, though.
How could that be fun?
Exactly. Some people fucking look. I bet you fucking Jeff Cobb would love to do that. Right? He's a tank. He'd fucking walk up and down the stairs, get a little burn on. I'm not doing that shit.
Matt, the fucking perfect segue there from Matt into the next match on Dontaku, whether by design or not. The NJPW World TV Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. and Jeff Cobb going to a 15-minute time limit draw. We got our first draw for this title. I think it makes sense with these two men as well.
And we also got to see Shane Haste and his acting chops.
Shane Sabre Jr. Oh my god, that was superb. I was in bits. Their backstage comments as well, the three of them, they're so fucking funny. They're just three lovable idiots. They're so good together.
And look, I predicted a time limit draw last week. I will pat myself on the back. I don't get a lot of wins with you, Kieran, because you're always outshining me. Don't even rain on my parade. I'm sure you got some big news, some secret interview. Just keep it to yourself today. Let me bask in the glory. Don't look around, you mother.
I'm gonna DM someone to see if they want to do an interview right now.
This was awesome. Great story. Great wrestling. Zach trying to get the fucking German continuously working on the knee, the history of his knee, going back to the Naito feud with LIJ before Wrestle Kingdom a couple of years ago. Like, I thought they did a great job. I loved how TMDK and the United Empire were there just to support their teammates. There's no interference. There's no bullshit. They're just there for moral support. I love this, and I am all for round 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't care how many times they do this.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not as high on this as you are, definitely. Like, I thought it was good, not great, but there's obviously going to be a rematch. So maybe, you know, they've done what you can never blame someone for doing is they've held a bit back because they know they're going to have the rematch. Maybe it's going to be a bigger platform, you know, maybe it's going to be a resurgence or, you know, best of the Super Juniors finals or even Dominion. It wasn't announced for Dominion, was it?
I think it was.
Was it?
I believe so. One of four.
It was announced to Phil Dominion. Goddamn. So, you know, understandable if they've held something back because they want to go all out. I'm still petrified that Zack Sabre Jr. will now lose the title. But, you know, hopefully he keeps hold of it. But it was very cool that they pulled the trigger on a time limit draw. And it felt right with these two men because they are two guys that should be vying for the top title, really.
Yeah, no, I don't know what your beef with this match was, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I thought it was good. I just didn't think it was anything stand out for me. Like, it's very middle of the road for me.
Why does Big Tom have an issue with Tanahashi? Is it because he's hurt or because of his stupid hair?
They're in different groups, man. Tanahashi is Hontai, Ishii is Chaos. Why does he want to hang out with a Hontai boy? Huh?
Why would a
Why
fucking...
Why does he want to do that little goody two-shoes Tanahashi?
Why would Angry Okada invite him in then?
Because Okada is Okada. Okada doesn't give a shit. Okada is this in ultimate dick heel mode, telling Shota Umino "fuck you" in English post match. But yeah, like she's his Chaos mate, and Tanahashi and Okada have of course been teaming up a lot the last year or so as the dream team. It kind of worked out. There was one moment where Tanahashi accidentally slapped Ishii, but they got the win, and it's wild to see Okada with a belt that isn't the top belt. It's a sight I never thought I'd see.
It's the first time in his career.
Yeah, he's only ever won the IWGP heavyweight title or the IWGP world heavyweight title. It is a bizarre sight.
Yeah, look, I am all for, now we had pondered, you know, how is Sonata's run going to shape up? What does Okada do? Look, if angry Okada is going to be doing six mans, I'm here for it. Let him be fucking angry. You know, I love angry Okada. I love him.
Oh, he is tremendous as this dickhead. Like, fuck these young lions. Fuck these kids. Like, you know, just absolutely hating Ren Narita. And now he's like, yeah, fuck you too, Shota Umino. I'll beat the shit out of you as well, you little prick. Yeah. He is tremendous. And he is making, like, this match was one of the most anticipated on the card in a big way because of him. And the fact that it seemed like they could actually win this as well. And it's quite interesting as well that El Desperado, the junior in the match, usually the juniors take the loss, but even so, Okada still pinned Ren Narita to get the win. There's going to be, these seeds will grow for years and years, this Young Lions coming after Okada. It's going to be such a story that will go on for fucking years and years, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, I tweeted last night, it's going to be an unbelievable moment when Ren Narita beats Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in X amount of years.
It was a fun match. It was just all over the place. It was quick. It was hard-hitting. It was heavy. And then post-match, you get Okada crowned six-man tag champs along with Ishii Tanahashi. Shota Umino comes out, says some stuff on the mic I can't remember, and then the arena goes dark, the screen comes up, and there's John Moxley. He's coming to Dominion, and he's not happy with the way they've been treating his young boy, Shota Umino. John Moxley is coming back to Japan. Seemingly, you would assume he's going to team up with Shota Umino and perhaps a third man to challenge for the titles. Or maybe it's just going to be Shota and Moxley in a tag match of some kind. But I'm certainly hoping for the former. Let's bring over another mystery man. Maybe he's AEW, maybe he's not. But let's have a six-man title match with Moxley and Shota involved.
Yeah, maybe he's Blackpool Combat.
Maybe it's Wheelie Uta. He's known by AEW guys, or maybe it's something better than that.
Let's go. If we're going to go all out, let's go all out.
What about if we go all in?
Ah, I see what you did there. Clever feller.
Got my tickets.
Did you?
Eventually.
So you had a little scrap.
Fuck MJF, man. Like, fuck. If you listen, we don't talk much AEW on here. I talk AEW on Into the Wrestleverse on the WrestleWin Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleWin. I'm not an MJF fan. MJF is fine. I just don't like how much people go on that he's the greatest promo ever and that he's God's gift to us and all this stuff. He is a good promo. I could do an MJF promo because he checks certain boxes every fucking time. Like fuck MJF. I don't think he's that good. When he decided to pop into my mentions apropos of nothing, I was like, what the fuck, bro? I was like, I gotta hit this fucker with a succession meme.
Yeah, and you did.
I got my tickets for All In. Me and my fiance Hazel will be there, Wembley Stadium. Very, very fucking exciting. It's crazy. The amount of tickets they sold as well on the pre-sale, like 45,000 on the pre-sale alone. That's incredible numbers.
It's awesome. It's awesome for AEW. It's awesome for the fans in the UK. I'm very happy that you got your tickets and you'll be in attendance at the Wembley. And I hope it's crazy because they haven't even announced a single match.
They've not announced shit. It's just off the vibes, man. And you know, people love their wrestling over here, man. WWE, you know, they finally pulled the trigger on Clash at the Castle and look how good it done for them. AEW's being going gung-ho from the off and they're being rewarded.
Yeah, no, good for you. I'm happy you're going. That'll be fun to talk about.
So hopefully it's just a card full of New Japan talent and no AEW talent, and then I'll be even happier. Give me Bushi and Doki in a six-man tag match over fucking Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara or Anita.
You don't like Jungle Man and Sammy Guevara?
Jungle Boy's actually pretty good. I like Jungle Boy. I don't care for Sammy.
You seen one flippy do, you seen them all, right?
Yeah, he's got nothing to him, Sammy.
I'll tell you what. I knew the inevitable was happening here. I wasn't happy about it.
It was brilliant.
Look,
Boy, David.
How do I explain this?
David Finley needed something.
I know.
He had the doubters. He had, you know, like, you know, yourself, many others calling him Jay White Light, which is just a stupid.
I never thingy. Called him that.
I know you didn't, but that's a big thing I see on all my mentions is Jay White Light or Jay White Wannabe or Jay White Ripoff, whatever. He's not remotely tried to be anything like Jay White, like, other than the fact that he's a Bullet Club leader. That's like it. There's very little. That Jay White was so tactful in his matches, like, you know, he was such a little shithouse, he would drop to the floor so that people couldn't sandbag, so that he would sandbag himself so people can do moves to him. David Finley is just like, let's fucking get on, let's fucking fight, let's fucking go.
Doesn't mean I have to like it, Kieran.
No, you do not, but I appreciate you like it for realistic reasons, not like, oh, Jay White Light.
No, I will never refer to David. David Finley looks like a dude who had a midlife crisis, brought a motorcycle, dyed his beard,
got and a his eyebrows,
tattoo of a fucking pirate ship, and now he thinks he's fucking shit.
Yeah, we got to talk about the ending, of course. It wasn't even just the ending. It was like the final 5, maybe 10 minutes, just attacking Tama Tonga on the outside and powerbombing him onto the apron and then throwing him into the corner post like a ragdoll and then... What, 4 power bombs maybe, and then into oblivion, and he picks Tama Tonga's head up off the mat, into oblivion again, and he does it again, and then the third into the oblivion, he finally takes the win. It was a statement.
Look, I don't like it, but I have to agree with you. This was a very, he said he was going to be vicious, be killed, and You saw it, and this is something that I think we haven't seen the Bullet Club in a very long time, right? We had that.
He's saying that he wants to get Bullet Club back to its roots. He wants to be savage. He doesn't care about the t-shirts or making fans. He wants the titles, and he wants to be brutal. And, you know, one other thing as well you'd say is, you know, you get the little Gato interferences in the Jay White matches. It's all David Finlay.
Yeah.
He's just being like, you know, savage is the word he keeps using, and he is being very savage in his matches.
He should have been the Savage Club, then, not the Rebel Club.
You got a good point.
Who do we blame for this, though? Do we blame Jado or Red Shoes for not? Jado should have thrown the towel in. Fucking Tama Tonga left on a stretcher. What are we doing, Jado?
It was a great story told. Jado maybe a bit loopy from the kendo stick hit he took earlier in the night from Kenta. But yeah, it done exactly what it needed to do. Like, I feel like if people are still chatting shit about Finley now, it's maybe a clear sign that they haven't watched this. Because he delivered in a big way. And he got lucky post-match, though. He escaped a returning El Fantasmo with pink hair and New Japan shorts and the crowd loving it, chanting his name. El Fantasmo was back.
Yeah, man, I love this. I thought it made perfect sense. We haven't seen him since Genesis when he was jumped out of the Bullet Club, something that has never happened to Jay White. Let's just put that out there. ELP's back. He's a baby. People love him. I love him. Kieran loves him. All of his country, Canada, they love him. He's doing fucking crazy. Dude, he did that flip to the outside and he landed on the ramp. And I was like, oh, my God, this is over already. He just fucking blew his heads out.
He's awesome. Like, I think I said it on here before, he was a babyface in Rev Pro in the UK originally, and he's got a whole other tank in him we're about to see. Like, the crowd already loved him, they were already warm to him even when he was the bad guy in Bullet Club. But as he gradually started to show the other side of himself, the fans become more and more endeared, and he's gonna be so fucking popular. He could be like a Tama Tonga where the crowd just universally loves him.
Yeah, and I'm all here for it. And look, David Finley, let's just be clear for anyone out there on Fightful Overbooked who's listening to this and watching, and the people that support the Bread Club, can't take anything away from him. He's the guy I love to root against.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, you can appreciate it from that standpoint.
Yeah, I just don't want some, you know, how the wrestling community is. People take everything real fucking seriously. I'm not. I really do appreciate what David Finlay does. I just love fucking rooting against him and pointing out that he's the leader of the Bullet Club and he has no fucking right to be the leader of the Bullet Club. People, look at the list of leaders. David Finlay doesn't belong.
Doesn't belong there not for now.
We'll see what he does.
In a year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe he will.
If he boots Chase Owens, is that...
G1 Climax winner David Finlay?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I like Zack Sabre Jr.
IWGP World Heavyweight Champion David Finlay.
No. So easy there. Easy, cheesy. Let's put the rocket back in the fucking case for now. Let's let him be the never openweight champion. Let's see how this ELP stuff plays out.
And then in the main event of Dontaku, Sanada getting the first defense of his IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against Hiromu Takahashi, hitting Deadfall finally to get the win to retain the title. This was a very fucking good match. This was great. Hiromu looked like he could legitimately have won the title, which is just crazy to say.
Yeah, I think just from this small sample size, this one match, and I know people were very concerned with Sonata's championship run, and they were comparing it to Evil. Just this match has already surpassed the Evil championship run, and I think New Japan did some very interesting things. In DC and Philly, he hit the Paradise Lock. On the road to Dontaku shows, he was wrestling very much like L.I.J. Sonata, and Chris Charlton and Kevin Kelly told the story how that was the Sonata Hiromu was familiar with. Well, now, because he did not use Deadlock once during the road two.
Yeah, no, he didn't hit Deadfall. He was only going for the skull end and the Muto moonsault and everything. He was keeping his... It's an interesting tactic, and it's actually really smart because the road two shows give the wrestlers a chance to feel each other out, don't they? And then the story is they'll figure out plans and they'll go into their main event. Like, you know, if you're a Kanemaru, you'll spend the road two shows focusing on Hiromu's legs, so you get to the title match and the leg's already weakened. And Sanada didn't give Hiromu the chance to figure out ways to counter Deadfall or anything like that. He just didn't use it. It's really kayfabe, incredibly smart. Like, why don't people do that more often?
Yeah, no, it made perfect sense. They told a great story. Sanada battered him. You know, the callbacks to other juniors who have been in that position, Finn or Devitt, whatever you want to call him, Liger. They just told a great story, and the fucking Shining Wizard, he blasted him at the end. Ripped
Hiromu's head off, and then Hiromu hitting Time Bomb 2 surprised me big time. I was like, holy shit, is he gonna...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A win, and I think maybe Desperado kicked out of that once or something like it. I don't know. I feel like Desperado kicked out of it once, maybe. And it was when they had the Best of Super Juniors final rematch, and everyone was like, okay, Desperado's gonna win this time. And Hiromu hit like 10 time bombs. But yeah, like I was like, holy shit, is Hiromu gonna win here? And they made me doubt for a split second, which is just crazy because there's no way a junior's ever gonna hold that title, at least not for now.
Well, yeah, I was thinking so. I was thinking that too, right? Like, okay, we've seen the list, right? Will we ever see a junior dethrone the champion?
Nah, junior will not hold the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship unless it's like they're moving up from the division. I don't think you certainly wouldn't have the junior heavyweight champion also be the world heavyweight champion. Maybe if Hiromu wasn't the junior heavyweight champion and he was transitioning to a heavyweight, but I also don't think Hiromu should ever become a heavyweight.
No, I'm with you. Stay where your bread is buttered, my friend.
Yeah, no, he's a junior through and through. His whole thing is that he wants to elevate the juniors. Why would he fuck off to the heavyweights? He's putting on junior festivals. He's junior through and through. But yeah, then, of course, post-match. Isn't it great how New Japan waits so long before the post-match stuff happens that you start to doubt anything's going to happen? Like, yeah. It always catches me. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're not getting a challenger. I guess, you know, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes the show just finishes and, you know, Sanada wins and happy days, but they dragged it out and the video package started playing, and a man in a big coat and hood starts walking towards the ring, and it comes up on the screen. Yota Tsuji. The boy has escaped the UK right before the king is getting coronated. He left at a smart fucking time, because the UK is going to be hell this weekend. Yota Tsuji is back, and Yota Tsuji looked phenomenal.
This was it was awesome. It was so awesome. You know, we talked on our last episode, like, okay, Sonata clearly is going to beat Hiromu. What's next? Where does he go here to Dominion? Is he the champion through the G1? I didn't have Yota on my bingo card at all, but I am like so excited for this, because we are at a point where we watched all these guys, the Shota Umino's and the Ren Naritas and the Tsuji's, like, beat Young Lions. Now they're back and they have characters, and he walks right in, takes out just five guys, lays the strap on Sonata, teases.
Do you know what? He's definitely in LIJ, right? But I would have liked it to be a bit more obvious and solid, maybe.
They did not mention it on commentary.
Chris, he didn't mention the fist pump, no. Which was weird, but obviously also commentary don't all necessarily get told stuff. They're just reacting live. They don't know what's going to happen and stuff like that. You know,
that's I thought that was like an obvious.
Also, what are they saying on Japanese commentary? We don't know. Perhaps right. Milano is like, oh, he's in LIJ. You know what I mean? And then backstage, I think I Chris Charlton, I love him to bits, but maybe a bit of a mishap, because it cut to backstage and Hiromu was on the floor. And Charles' commentary made it sound like Tsuji had attacked Hiromu.
Right.
In reality, Hiromu was just fucked from the match and was on the floor while Tsuji was making his comments, if you watch it on YouTube. Of course, Chris Charlton didn't know that. He was reacting to the same thing we were seeing. And then Tsuji carrying Hiromu out. And I was like, okay, so is he kidnapping Hiromu? Is he about to go beat him up? Or is he just carrying Hiromu? Is he helping him out? Because they're friends now and they're part of LIJ. And
right.
It seems like the latter, right?
Yes, 100%. And, man, I am so excited for this, because this changes so much, you know.
I've got to ask you, Matt. Okay, look at the way these Young Lions have come back, yeah? Right. Okay, here's a question for you. How did Ren Narita make his return? What was his grand return from Excursion? I don't remember. It wasn't the Shibata Wrestle Kingdom match. It wasn't that. I can't remember his grand return. Was it? It was before the NJPW or TV Championship tournament. But I can't remember. Shota Umino's grand return was that he rocked up to challenge Will Ospreay after a show. He attacked Will Ospreay, challenged for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship, which happened at Historic Crossover. Yota Tsuji has come back and laid out the top champion, and he's instantly in the title match for the top championship. Is that kind of telling of what they think of Tsuji compared to what they think of Narita, compared to what they think of Shota?
That's a good question. Tsuji's just, I think if you want to, so Ren Narita came back at Declaration of Power. He was the tag partner with David Finley and Robbie Eagles to take on Doki, Despy, and Kanemura.
Okay, so yeah, he got announced. Oh yeah, he got announced that he would be at advance and everything. It wasn't like a big shock return. It was Narita's returning back from Excursion, and it was built up, and that was his return. Yeah, I remember now. And Shota Umino, yeah, I can't remember the show, but he came back. Surprise return, and he attacked Will Ospreay for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship. Maybe that was after the Naito match at Battle Autumn. That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think you're right too.
So yeah, Shota Umino, Ren Narita had a rather unceremonious return announced in advance. Shota got the big shock surprise return, challenged Will Ospreay, but Yota Tsuji, big shock surprise. Weeks, it feels like months of vignettes of this fucking wolf thing. Dinosaur, maybe, it seems, and then challenging the top dog. Like, is Tsuji their boy? Is Tsuji the one that they're stacking putting their bets on?
I don't know if he's the guy they're putting their bets on, but I think this more helps the Sonata title run, right? Here's this monster coming in. Returning from Excursion, like, clearly I don't think Tsuji's gonna beat him at Dominion, which is fine, but now we have another player, And this clearly means that Sonata's going to go into the G1 as the champion. So
that's something else I wanted to ask you about, because I, like we discussed, that whoever goes into G1 as champion, more than likely 99% of the time they're going to Wrestle Kingdom as the champion. And I don't know that Sonata main event Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know. I think it's possible, but I don't know if New Japan would want to hedge their bets on that. But there is another show along the way called Forbidden Door, Matt. There is a big show before the G1 kicks off.
Yeah. So let's just hypothetical. Sonata beats Tsuji.
Yep. I think that's a certain. Yeah.
At Dominion, which is good. Look. Safer. Very excited for Tsuji. This is a brand new character. He's back. Another young gun to go with Umino and Ren Narita.
He's got all the knowledge of Gideon Gray in his head as well. He was teaming with Gideon Gray, part of his group, whilst he was over in RevPro.
So we're gonna say Sonata beats him, and then in between that and the G1 is Forbidden Door. But what's like? I think Okada's tied up. I like where Okada is. All right, take a bet, because he's an easy. If the Sonata thing starts to fall apart, you just, you know.
Yeah, Okada's maybe a G1 winner. I certainly don't think he heads into the G1 as champion.
I just don't know where the. So we're going to assume at the Forbidden Door, we're going to see Osprey Omega for the US title.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there's nothing wrong with just having a full-blooded New Japan IWGP heavyweight match, world heavyweight title match on this card. Like, it can be Sonata versus Naito, for argument's sake. It can be Sonata versus anyone. There doesn't have to be an AEW name involved in this title match.
I wasn't even thinking AEW name. I was just thinking of who would, you know.
I think Naito. I still think the story's not. It's LIJ, isn't it? All the way through. He beats, you know, beats Hiromu, beats Tsuji. That's two LIJ members down, and then here comes Naito.
You don't think Naito runs the G1 and you get Sonata Naito at Wrestle Kingdom?
I think that's a very real possibility. I really do. And Naito gets finally to walk up that ramp as the champion, which is the thing that Kenta took away from him. He finally gets to do it at roll call, and he gets to do it at the behest of a man that left his group. Granted, it wasn't in an evil way. It wasn't like, you know, fuck you guys, I'm out, I hate you. It was quite amenable. I definitely could see Naito versus Sonata main event in Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know that I want it to after their two previous matches. They haven't exactly tore the house down, the G1 and then the New Japan Cup match.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to, I mean, if they, you know, maybe that's something we see in the G1.
And the title changing hands in America would be a really cool moment for the belt, actually make it a real world championship. And, you know, they kind of keep Naito not away from America, but he's not, he doesn't do America as much as everyone else. So a Naito at Forbidden Door is a big deal. He wasn't even on the last Forbidden Door. Maybe now we know why. Maybe they wanted to make it a match even more special this year.
That's fair. I'm very
my rampant raving speculation.
I love it though. Look, you've if anyone's listened to the Bread Club before, I mean, you've been right more than you've been wrong. You were right about Sonata joining Just Four Guys.
I wish my fiance thought the same.
I mean, look, my wife thinks I'm wrong all the time, so get used to it, buddy.
Who would have thought that this hunk would be challenging?
Motherfucker! Huh? Of course, he's got some fucking photo.
Yeah, Tsuji, he's down the road from me. He's at RevPro. Yeah.
Great. I got the best I can do is some fucking picture I took with Evil when he was still fucking Watanabe at an indie show in Jersey.
Hey, you got a picture with the dude that would become the double champion. Don't knock it.
I know. I bought into it too. I was very excited. And then it turned into the House of Torture. And now it's the bane of my existence.
Do we talk about Best of Super Junior next? Or do we talk about the fact that there's been a ton of stuff announced for Resurgence? And we will, of course, touch on Dominion, but we'll do a more in-depth breakdown of Dominion closer to the show, because that's a month away yet.
Yeah, we still have to go through the Best of the Super Juniors. Like,
we've got to try survive Best of the Super Juniors is maybe the most apt way of saying.
Oh, man. We will survive. We survive it every year. They're just gonna test our.
This is just crazy this year. Like, hang on. So
It starts on 12th of May. Then we've got one show, two show, three show, four show, five show, six shows, seven shows, eight shows. There's eight shows in like 9 days or something stupid. The only day there's not a show from Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nothing Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Fucking hell. Do you know what? The first three shows as well. I mean, I'm on a stag doing a stag bachelor, whatever Americans, I think, call it bachelor party. I'm on a stag do in Liverpool for the first three night for the first three
Wait,
shows.
What's it called? A stag do?
Yeah.
All right. This is look. I like. I got.
We call them stags or stag do's. But yeah, I'm on a stag do the first when Best of Super Juniors kicks off in Liverpool. Okay. So I'm already gonna be three shows behind.
And okay, the way my schedule's looking next week, I'm gonna be just as many shows.
You'll be 2 weeks behind. Oh man, it's not as fun to just watch them all back to back either. It feels more like a mission then as well.
Yes, I agree. But
they're doing other than the two final nights, other than two block nights, every night is 10 matches. It's both blocks.
Look, at least we know there's no filler.
There is no fucking room for filler, and lots of the matches should be fun sprints. To be fair.
Yes, yes. They
should be digestible.
The field is stacked. The A block is Kushida, Taguchi, Leo Rush, Doki, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Hiromu Takahashi, Titan is back, TJP, Taji Ishimori, Sho, and Mike Bailey. Your B block is Akira, El Desperado, Bushi, Uncle Nobu, who look like an uncle at the end of the... the Dantaku thing with his fucking shorts, his jacket, and his combed up hair. I was like, God damn, he looks...
Everyone loves Uncle Nobu.
He looks like an uncle. Yo, Robbie Eagles, Master Wado, Clark Connors, Kevin Knight, and Dan Maloney.
Yeah, we've got four fresh faces, four debuts in Leo Rush, Speedball Mike Bailey, Dan Maloney, and Kevin Knight. You've got Kushida returning for the first time in...
Five years.
First time in 5 years, Kushida's back. You've got Titan was a great in the tournament last year. You've got Clark Gunners revitalized, new attitude as part of Bullet Club. You've got TMDK, Robbie Eagles. This is stacked to the fucking hills.
Yeah, no, this is... I mean, we kind of talked about it last week. Like, who did we think was going to be in there? And you got Bailey... obviously Dan Maloney's I'm very excited to watch Dan Maloney because I'm not familiar with his UK work. But man, this is gonna, you're right. This is a sprint, but there's going to be, you know, Clark is going to be somebody to watch for me. I like Doki a lot. I like a Master Wado. I can't believe those words came out of my mouth.
I think that's what, just like, look at the first night. So the first night they're giving us Hiromu versus Speedball Mike Bailey, which is a dream match in every sense of the word. You know, very real chance Speedball gets the win there. But then you've also got El Desperado versus Kanemaru, of course, former junior tag champions together for so many years. Kushida versus Doki. Kevin Knight versus Clark Connors, LA Dojo versus XLA Dojo. Of course, there's going to be lots of animosity there between the two of them. Yo versus Robbie Eagles will be really technical, very different on that card. It's just there's not going to be a night without at least like three or four matches that are just like out of this world.
Yeah, no, to your point, man, falling behind on this is going to suck because there's not going to ever be a night where it's like, there's nothing you need to see here because there's always going to be a match or two, and that's putting it kindly, that you're going to want to see.
Yeah, and then I mentioned it earlier as well. They're doing semifinals for the first time since 2014. So the top 2 point scorers will advance. So rather than, you know, just the winner of A block and the winner of B block and that being it, the winner of A block will face whoever finished second in B block. And the winner of B block will face whoever finished second in A block. So that's still two new fresh matches for the tournament. And it makes sense because, you know, it's the top, the guy that finished top is going to take on the second best, but from the other block. So that's something still fresh. It makes a lot of sense in a sports way. This is very much something that would happen in a playoff situation in football.
Yep. No, I love it. I love it. And again, no, you're good. Kieran, I understand the lingo, my man. All right, don't worry about us. Don't worry about your Boston fans.
Because the stupid American football doesn't have playoffs. You don't get relegated. There's none of that shit. What's the point? You finish bottom. But you don't get promoted into a different division or something. If you finish bottom of your league, what's it matter? You're still going to be there next season.
Nah, you get the number one draft pick the next year.
Exactly. That's even worse. You get rewarded.
Because they want to try and even the playing field.
You finish bottom in any of the leagues in football and you fucking go down a division.
Okay, I mean, all right, man. Don't get hot at me.
Stuff to play for. You're finishing bottom. You can't just give up. You got to fucking try to survive.
I understand what you meant when you said football. They put me over Monday night because I was so quick to tell you how hot it was in Celsius.
I feel like you've probably got that open all the time now when we open up the show.
I have another laptop open all the time.
A new Japan tab with a bunch of stuff open and then just Celsius Fahrenheit calculator.
It's already in the Google. Once I hit the C, it's the first thing that comes up. So.
But yeah, right. This is more difficult than usual because usually we just have to pick a winner for the A block and a winner for the B block, but we have to pick a winner for the A block and who's going to finish second place, and then the same for the B block. But I do like it, and it's kind of like the G1 when they had the four blocks last year. It gives people that wouldn't necessarily be a contender to be in the final a chance to still get some acclaim. Like Tamatonga was never going to be in a G1 final. But he won his block last year and he made the semifinals and that was amazing.
Right. Yeah, no. And look, I talked about it earlier. It's going to keep, you know, do I think Doki's going to win? No, but he's going to have meaningful matches towards the end of the tournament.
Could he finish second though? That's not out of this. That's not outlandish, right?
I don't know, man. That's pretty steady. That's fucking stacked,
God
dude.
Damn it. I'm just trying to up my boy Doki.
Anything's possible, man. It might be Doki's time to shine. You know, he might not win it, but he might be in the semifinals.
I just had a horrible thought though, Matt.
Don't do it.
It does mean Hiromu could make the semifinals.
Give it to me. Let me hear it.
Hiromu could make the semifinals. That's it. We don't, champions usually finish near the top, but he could very possibly win, get to the semifinals, which would be a wasted spot, in my opinion.
Nelly is running amok over here. Usually they come on down. Come on. All right. Well, so you hear something crashing down, and it hurts. It's not the Hulkster. It's Nelly. They usually kind of sometimes tip their hand. Because they are doing May 23rd, May 24th, A block and B block finals.
Yes.
So you look at the matchups there.
Get an idea for who's going to be in the running.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it, Nelly. We're going to have an LIJ showdown with Hiromu and Teton.
Mm-hmm. When you look at that final night of A block, to me, your finalists are potentially Leo Rush, Speedball, or TJP and Taiji Ishimori. Maybe Kushida's in the running as well. But other than that, it hurts me to say, but they could obviously go for Show.
Just going to ask about Show.
No one wants it, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd rather have. But the thing with Show is there's going to be so much fucking House of Torture nonsense.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fucking... a pain in the ass. And then I think in the B block, you've got El Despada and Robbie Eagles. That's going to be, like, you know, the winner of that probably goes on to make the semifinals. I'd say the winner of possibly Dan Maloney, Clark Connors goes on to make the semifinals.
I think Clark is one of your final two in the B block.
Yeah. And I think Master Watto maybe gets a win over Kevin Knight. I don't think Kevin Knight will be in the running, but I think Master Watto will still be in the running up till the final night.
Okay,
my two A block semifinals.
How did you know? You're so good.
I'm going with Speedball Mike Bailey as a semifinalist. And I'm going with this is so difficult. I'm not going with Kushida, I'm not going with Taguchi. Leo Rush is a maybe. Doki, no. Hiromu is a maybe. Titan, probably not. TJP, probably not. Ishimori or Sho. I'm going Speedball and Ishimori as the semifinalists for A block. And for B block, I'm going Despy and Clark Connors.
I have the same B block as you, Despy and Clark. A block, I'll go Leo Rush, Ishimori.
Leo Rush and Ishimori. I think, yeah. It's got, it's so fucking difficult. And then who finals, I'm going, I kind of like the idea of someone new winning it. But any other year, I would say El Desperado should win it, but I kind of don't want another El Desperado versus Romu match. I want them to be separated for a while. I feel like we had a lot of that the last few years. But at the same time, El Desperado should have a Best of the Super Juniors win on his resume.
Yeah, it's the only thing he's missing, right? Despy Leo?
I could see that, and that would be great as well, because Despy would work over Leo's leg and everything, and Leo not able to do his special stuff. I think Ishimori maybe makes the finals. Ishimori, Despy, maybe. I would like to see just a fresh face in the finals. I think, though, whether it be Clark, whether it be Dan, whether it be Speedball, whether it be Leo. And as much as I adore El Desperado, I kind of don't want him to win the tournament just because I don't want another Hiromu Despy match.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not going to be disappointed if he did, because I love Desperado and he deserves
it. What if we get the Hiromu Despy match at Forbidden Door and we get a title change there? Would that change things up?
That'd be cool. That'd be different and everything. It wouldn't be in front of, it'd be in front of a different crowd. It'd be a different atmosphere and everything like that. But at the end of the day, Dominion is arguably New Japan's second biggest show of the year. So they're gonna stack it, and there's no bigger junior match than El Desperado versus Romu.
I mean, if it gives Despy his win and gets the title off of Hiromu, and then that can open up the possibilities of Despy feuding with the Clark Connors and the Dan Maloney's and the Leo Rushes of the world.
That's the thing. There's so much new blood in this tournament. For a champion to, even Hiromu is champion. Hiromu versus Kushida hasn't happened in God knows how many years. Hiromu versus Speedball, Hiromu versus Clark, Hiromu versus Dan. There's so many fresh title matches Hiromu can have from this block alone, let alone, if he defends the title against someone from AEW at Forbidden Door, that'd be really cool as well.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be a lot of fun. A lot to digest in 15 days.
Yeah, what is it? It's 12. It's happening over 12 nights. There's 12 nights of Super Juniors, and it's happening from May 13th to May 28th. So in 15 days, we're getting 12 nights of Best of Super Juniors.
Or go big or go home, right?
I want to go home.
And then while we're in the middle of this crazy Best of the Super Juniors run.
Oh,
Sunday, May 21st here in the States.
I did not realize this was during the same fucking... I did not know Resurgence was during Best of Super Juniors. I had not put that together.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you... If you want to eat New Japan Pro Wrestling, you're going to eat all of it, and you're going to like it, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Long Beach, California, May 21st. They have Ospreay versus Tanahashi. Winner faces Lance Archer at Dominion for the IWGP US Championship number one contenders tournament spot. We have added a New Japan Strong Women's Championship, and we will have a four women tournament taking place that night.
Yeah, we got to talk about this Strong Women's Championship, Matt. Are you a fan? Are you not a fan? Do you have your doubts, your critiques of this, given we have the IWGP Women's Championship?
I was under the impression that Mercedes Moné was going to Stardom to take play and wrestle. We still haven't, and look, I know she got an extension, and I know we haven't got to see it yet, but there's a lot of dream matches that she still hasn't had an opportunity to have. Now, is it easier for her to go between the States and Japan, and maybe this is an opportunity to maybe bring more eyes on her and the New Japan product that hopefully translates to people going over and seeing her when she's in Stardom? Because I don't know what the 10th anniversary show?
What, for Stardom?
Did that? What was the big show that just happened like just 2 weeks ago?
All Star Grand Queendom. It was their biggest show in history. It wasn't right.
So I don't know what the if she drew like a lot of Western fans to order.
Supposedly, Meltzer said something about how like a pay per view usually gets a few hundred, and this one got a few thousand from foreign buyers. So yeah, I you can probably comfortably attribute that to Monet, but take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, well, I mean, if this isn't at like New Japan Strong really hasn't done anything with the women. So if this is an avenue to open up a door for some of these independent women wrestlers here in the States,
I like it as a fan 100% because there is so many great women that New Japan can showcase on their American shows. With Monet at the helm, because you assume she's winning this tournament. You've got guys from AEW, guys from Ring of Honor. You've got independent guys.
Girls
is universal. Guys doesn't mean male.
Look, I'm just letting you know, Kieran, it's 2023. People are fucking butthurt about everything. So you've got girls, ladies.
You've got like the women from Mexico, of course. Like, because in this tournament, we should say for the Strong Women's Championship, they're doing one night tournament. It's Stephanie Vakur from CMLL versus Mercedes Moné in round one. Momo Kogo from Stardom versus AEW's Willow Nightingale in round one as well. The two will face off in the final. The winner will be crowned the Strong Women's Champion. My beef of it is, Matt, this was what the IWGP Women's Championship was going to be, right? They said how this belt would be defended on Strong. They were going to have Stardom wrestlers competing on Strong. It seems I imagine something has changed somewhere along the line for whatever reason. But I'm as a fan, I'm totally fine. But it's very easily to be critical. It's very easy to be critical of this.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. First of all, let me just be very clear. I don't know shit about shit, so out there. But maybe they saw the return on New Japan and Stardom with the IWGP women's title, and you know, maybe buys are up and maybe they're selling more tickets. I don't know how any of that shit works, but maybe the idea was like, this works here, so let's leave this here. It's probably less of a hassle to bring them to the States. And then, you know, and you can do, I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but you can let Mercedes Moné win this and run the rest of the year with it until she gets to Wrestle Kingdom season. And then she's, I'm queen shit of New Japan Strong, and Mayu Iwatani, you did whatever, and let's fucking make it one belt. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. And, you know, I'm not going to say no to Moné sticking around. She's been fantastic. She's worked her ass off to build up that match with Mayu Iwatani, you know, putting in the work over time. So
Mayu sucks. Mayu exactly. sucks. Mayu sucks. Mayu sucks.
It's very catchy. Her, you know, sticking around is fantastic. I'm glad she's sticking around. And yeah, we've got John Moxley also announced for Resurgence. There will be an unannounced match featuring Katsuyori Shibata at Resurgence. That your boy, I feel like I mentioned on Break Club before, right?
I think you had some breaking news last week about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so if Moné doesn't make you want to buy a ticket, and Moxie doesn't want to make you want to buy a ticket, and Will Ospreay versus Tanahashi doesn't make you want to buy a ticket, and me telling you that Katsuyori Shibata should be wrestling at this show, like, you know, Jesus Christ, man, what more could you fucking want as a fan? I'd be biting fingers off to get a ticket for this if I was in Los Angeles.
If none of that tickles your fancy, you have been watching an hour and 14 minutes of the wrong yeah. of the wrong show. Joke's on you. You just wasted your time, buddy.
It is stacked, and I totally did not realize that card was taking place the same time as fucking Best of the Super Juniors, just to make my life more difficult during that time period for everyone that's a fan of New Japan.
Yeah, baby, load it up. Is there a Best of the Super Junior show that day too?
There's one on the yes, but it's time difference. It's on the but it's Sunday night Japan time, so it's going to be like 3 a.m. American time. Like,
yeah, so you just go right from Resurgence into.
Oh no, it's the other way. It'd be Resurgence would take place after.
For whom?
For you. For everyone. I thought time moves in one direction, Matt.
Yes, I thought Resurgence was on the Saturday.
No, Resurgence is on the Sunday. Yeah, yeah,
Yeah, so you and could
best of two units has a show Sunday evening in Japan, and Resurgence is obviously on Sunday evening in America, but time is a devious bastard. So you won't miss one by watching the other.
Yeah, you thought I would figure, you know, between doing this show with you and setting up interviews with people around the world, I would know how time works, but clearly I am still stupid.
No, it's going to be a crazy fucking couple of weeks, literally 2 weeks. It's going to be difficult to keep up with. My work shift has changed. I shouldn't complain because you've got guys like Matt busting their ass doing 2 weeks straight. But I was doing 50% of my time in the office and 50% from home, whereas now it's 4 days in the office and 1 day from home. And it's fixed. It doesn't change week by week. So my being able to watch New Japan live is definitely going to take a hit. And of course, it happens right as Best of Super Juniors is beginning the most, because the G1 climax schedule isn't going to be this fucking hectic. I highly doubt.
No, but you can, you know, this will give you an opportunity to figure out how you're going to do the G1, right? This is a nice test run.
God, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun.
I'm just trying to make it a little easier on your buddy.
we'll talk about the Dominion matches that have been officially announced quickly. And like we said, we'll give proper breakdown of it in a future episode. You've got Jeff Cobb versus Zack Sabre Jr. rematch for the NJPW World TV Championship. You got a triple threat for the IWGP Tag Team Championship. Aussie Open versus Bishamon versus House of Torture. David Finlay defending the Never Openweight Championship against El Fantasmo, and Sanada defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against the returning Yota Tsuji, and the confirmation from John Moxley that he will also be at Dominion, returning to Japan for the first time in a long time.
And we'll see the number one contenders match, Lance Archer against either Will Ospreay or Tanahashi.
Yes, that's not on the website, on their major matches made for Dominion, but you're right. And seeing how Tanahashi is the Never Six Man Openweight Champion, I think we can make a safe bet as to who Lance Archer's opponent will be at Dominion.
And I am, you know what? I'm excited for that. I'm a big fan of Lance Archer, and I recall their G1 match from Dallas a couple years ago.
New Japan Cup and that G1 in Dallas. Jesus.
Fucking awesome. So that really excites me. So I'm looking forward to that.
And then no doubt Will Ospreay getting a win there. And yeah, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door. We're round two. Ding, ding.
Let's do it, baby. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it. And hopefully you are ready out there in Bread Club land. Special thanks, of course, to Jeremy and company over at Fightful Overbook, FightfulOverbook.com, Fightful.com. Remember, go to the YouTube, subscribe, rate, leave a review, leave a comment. We always like reading the comments. We appreciate everybody's support. Kieran's doing his thing on the social media at KieranRH93 on the Twitter machine, at WrestleIn. He's doing Ace Techers. It is the second best show about New Japan Pro Wrestling in the world. This is obviously number one.
I would say that's the best podcast, but this is the best video format, because this one has to be watched to be fully experienced. If you're only listening to Break Club, you're only getting half of the treat you should be getting.
And if you were foolish and you did not listen to Kieran 2 weeks ago and you got in late on the Wrestling Patreon,
I mean, yeah, I've not changed.
Late now you're late. But if you were grandfathered in like me,
we've not changed it yet, to be fair.
You said May 1st, man.
No, I said from May. Didn't say May 1st.
I'm trying to put you over here.
We got a great influx of people. I have to say, it was really heartwarming to see. There's an interview up there with Totoro Satsuki from Ice Ribbon. Either as soon as we finish recording this, or more than likely tomorrow, there's going to be an interview going up with Mao from DDT, telling us who he wants to face from AEW, what he thinks about Takeshita being in AEW, because they're part of the same faction in DDT. His favorite My Chemical Romance song. It's really, really fucking.
Nobody has a favorite My Chemical Romance
song. Hey, fuck you, man.
Emo Kieran shows up. All right.
I love My Chemical Romance. I've seen them at least once. I can't remember how many other times.
One of those guys is from Jersey.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I have a mutual friend who is like his cousin or something weird.
I mean, I have a friend who was dating someone, and that girl was like best friends with Paige. Soraya, however you want to say it. Because obviously she's from Norwich. So yeah, he knew her before. But once upon a time, my friend was proxy friends with Soraya. But yeah, at WrestleIn, WrestleIn.com, IWN. Yeah, check it out, please.
Check it out. Check me out at Wizards Podcast on the Twitter machine, all social media, Wizards Podcast every check Monday.
Check out the interview with Robbie X.
Oh, man, I felt so bad about that.
Why?
Because I was having internet issues again, and I was so not focused. I felt so, he's such a great guy, such a great interview.
He was. He's a great dude. I've watched it live. I sent him some messages after, and he loved it. You have nothing to worry about, Matt.
Good. Well, I still felt awful about it because I was very fucking mad at Optimum.
Do we have any more interviews lined up for the Wizards podcast?
I will be taught. We will, the Wizards, on May 8th, right?
Yep.
If you are an old school ECW fan, like old school 94, 95, we will have the giant Paul Loria on the show.
He's no idea.
Right over your head. and then on the 15th, he is one of the founding members of the Bullet Club. Bad Luck Fale will be joining the wrestling podcast.
Bad Luck fucking Fale on the Wizards. That's a dream team.
So if you are not... Oh, sorry, man. The cat stuff. She's killing me today. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, youtube.com/TheShiningWizards, you should do that and you'll get a reminder. And you can watch live every Monday night. And you comment in the comment section and we'll pull them up and you can ask Bad Luck Fale some questions and have a good time. I know it'll be late over there in the UK, almost midnight, but
yeah,
you know, go back and listen in podcast form.
I love you and the Wizards, but I won't be staying up for that one.
Look, I understand. I appreciate the love and the support that you give the Wizards. I would never ask you to stay up super late. I'm lucky I got you this late tonight.
I get to download it the next morning, and I'll be listening to it on my way to work.
Can you listen to the whole thing, huh? The whole fucking fiasco that is the show?
Not in one trip, no, because it's a long show. My journey to work is not that long. But yeah, no, I tend to get through it. I don't listen to too many podcasts, to be fair. So well, my plate is pretty thin.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. The boys do too.
Yeah, no. And especially now that I'm going into the office more, it means I have more time to listen to it, in all honesty.
Cool. Well, I think that's it. You're right.
I think we nailed it. It was a fun Dontaku tour. It was a very short tour, which was nice, because sometimes these fucking... The tag matches are important. The Road 2 shows are important, but sometimes they go on for a long time, and there's only so many times you can switch out one person for another person to keep the match somewhat seeming fresh.
Yeah, no, this was a short burst, and we had a lot to show for it after Dontaku. So on the road to Dominion, we'll have best of the Super Junior coverage when we're back here in a couple weeks. We hope you enjoyed this early edition of the Bread Club. This will probably drop sometime during the weekend. I'll get it over to Jeremy, and then you get early Bread Club. And who doesn't like that?
Who doesn't like bread first thing in the morning?
Or afternoon. I mean, bread is really good. There's no bad
time. Universal.
Right?
The Universal Bread Championship.
Who doesn't like bread?
We should have a championship made out of bread.
It would get moldy.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan had like the vegan thing. We could have a bread one.
We'll look into it. I'm going to look into it.
I'm just going to get a piece of bread and like carve out in a knife like a championship space.
I have to make sure it lasts.
Going to be like arts and crafts on the next episode of Bread Club.
Yeah, look, you never know what you're tuning in for over here, so to make sure you subscribe, you rate, you review. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Keep watching your New Japan. Come on, Nelly, get your butt out of my face. Get ready for Best of the Super Juniors. Drop it in the comments who you think is going to make it to the final four. So me and Kieran can talk.
That's a good point. Quickly, we didn't talk comments, but Matt, have you seen how many listens, views our last episode got?
I did not. I know we were making good ground. I'm not going to lie. I haven't checked recently.
I only checked to get up the comments. We had 828 views.
Hot fucking dog.
Maybe it's putting Mercedes in the picture. Maybe we just need to pretend we're talking about Mercedes all the time. But yeah, 828 views. Thank you very much to everyone that listened, that watched, I should say. And thanks for the comments as always. Scott George commenting as always. Agreeing that Kairi should get rid of the pirate gimmick, saying she doesn't need to bring anything from WWE with her to Stardom. I gotta say, Scott George, I got news for you, mate. She was a pirate long before she joined WWE, buddy.
I hate to cut you off there, Kieran. These comments are great, and we're going to go through them. But don't forget, too, expert at stardom over here. I am. I know.
That's See, why Matt knew Kyrie was a pirate before she went to WWE, and she was just coming back as a pirate again in stardom. He knew
she was a pirate before she was actually a pirate.
He knew she was a pirate before she knew she was a pirate.
Exactly. I know it all. I'm the stardom expert.
Saying always with the love to you guys. He's always shouting us out on Twitter and everything. We love it. Simeon cracking up at the thought of you fighting kids over Bullet Club, as you were at your Capital Collision, at your Collision shows, Matt.
I didn't fight a kid. I responded and let him know I did not fight a child. Oh, maybe I did.
And Colin Maffey saying David Finley equals Jay White Light, but I've already
I will not have none of that, Colin. None of that.
We've already discussed that one, Colin. You're in our bad books for until the next episode, buddy.
And I don't know if you know the wonderful people at the Shining Wizards, not me. FJW, you know what that stands for?
Fuck. I can't think of anything.
You know what JW is, buddy.
Fuck.
We don't agree with it. I don't condone it.
Oh, fuck Jay Wyatt.
Don't condone it.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means.
Why does it have an acronym?
Because that's what fucking Tony says all the time. Fuck Jay White, FJW.
Oh, shit.
Fucking hand job. Hope you listen to this, you shitbird.
Thanks for all the views, guys, and thanks for all the comments as always. Sorry we forgot I know you got to it at the very last second. We try to remember to do it earlier next time.
We're off our schedule, man. We got to them. And hopefully we got to you. And you enjoyed this show. Rate, review, subscribe, follow Kieran, follow me. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Best of the Super Juniors, a clearer picture of Dominion. Resurgence will be in our rearview mirror. We're going to have so much to talk about in 2 weeks, dude.
Yeah. I think I'm sick on that day.
Oh, man. All right, well, have fun at your mukbang or whatever the fuck you're going to.
Fucking mukbang.
I don't know. That's what those fucking food eating videos are called. A mukbang.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right? When people eat food, it's called a mukbang.
I'll take your word for it. I've never heard that before.
Throw it in the YouTube. I bet you'll find videos of people eating bread, chicken. You ever see the video of the girl just sticks her face in bread?
You've told me. I've still not seen it.
It's fucking weird.
Oh, we'll have to look it up.
Don't look it up. You don't need that fucking up your YouTube algorithm.
Get asked one day by my fiance, like she's just being curious on my phone, like, why the fuck are you looking at this stuff?
And you just blame
me. Do you like this? Is this what turns you on?
Oh, no. Well, maybe. I don't know. Well, I don't know what you UK people are into.
I'm not into that.
Oh, I should take down the thing. Oh, we're fucking done. I'll see you. See you later, people. I want to take that banner off so you can see Kojima. There we go. Look at him, so happy with the bread.
Sexy Kojima.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.